Thank you, Senator. It's Scott Courtney. Thank you very much, Senator Payam. Good morning, Senators, distinguished guests. I want to take a second and really applaud you, Senator, for your vision and leadership for calling this hearing today. It's incredible to see elected leaders, labor leaders, fast food workers, brothers and sisters from five continents across the globe here in this room this morning. And I think it's fitting that this hearing has taken place here in Brazil. Today, Brazil is a leader in the global economy, and with McDonald's using its power to drive down standards around the world, it's right that this company should have to face judgment in a country that's distinguished by a government, a legal system, and a civil society that puts workers first. I can't help but think that 40 years ago, we probably wouldn't need to do this hearing here today. As recently as the 1970s, America was still a place where you could count on a decent wage, health care, vacation. Your kids had a chance to go to school, and eventually you would have enough to retire. The American dream in the 1970s meant that you could achieve a better life for yourselves and you could expect a better life for your kids. But after four decades of the corporate-led strategies of deregulation, detaxation, and deunionization, America is now a much different place. 63 million Americans today make less than $15 an hour, less than a living wage. That's 43% of all workers in my country. 100 million Americans are in or near poverty with little opportunity for advancement or seeing a better life for their children. It's not because we lack money and it didn't happen by accident. It's the result of choices and priorities made by corporations and policymakers. Today in my country, one in five kids are hungry and go to bed hungry at least one night a week, while roughly 30% of our food goes uneaten. That's a choice that we make. Last year, Wall Street bonuses were more than all of the minimum wage workers made combined, and that's a choice that we make. Corporate profits make up a larger share of the U.S. economy, while wages make up the lowest share in history, and that's a choice that we make. America has always exported our culture and ways of doing business. For too long now, we've been exporting a global race to the bottom, and it's damaging workers, communities, politics, and societies. Here in Brazil, the Congress is debating outsourcing, a tool that's already widely used by U.S. companies to juice profits by driving down pay and ducking responsibility for workers. There's no question that the anti-worker business practices are threatening all of us, and no company is more responsible than McDonald's, which has pioneered and perfected a brand of cannibal capitalism that's driving the global race to the bottom. It's a business model based on eating its own. Instead of feeding and nourishing workers with respect, dignity, fair pay, and opportunities to advance, it feeds on people, treating workers as commodities to be used up and discarded. Instead of feeding communities and society with good jobs and paying its fair share of the taxes, it feeds on community, forcing people into dead-end jobs and avoiding taxes needed to fund healthcare and education. This cannibal capital business model chews up and spits out the very people and communities it needs to be successful. It's unsustainable from a business perspective, but more importantly, it's morally wrong. What's worse about McDonald's cannibal capitalism is its supersized impact on the global economy. With 1.9 million workers, McDonald's is the second largest private sector employer in the world. It's the largest employer of employers, with 34,000 franchise stores in more than 190 countries. It's the biggest purchaser of beef, chicken, lettuce, tomatoes, and bread, and it's the world's largest food supplier, feeding 69 million people a day. McDonald's influence is huge, but instead of using its global scale to support good jobs and lift standards in the service sector, it uses its enormous footprint for just the opposite. McDonald's is a bully that thinks it can come into any country, ignore the laws, exploit workers, pull out the profits. Its cannibal capitalism business model matters to everyone because it hurts everyone: workers, suppliers, competitors, governments, and consumers. Here's the reality for American workers in the fast food industry. There are cooks and cashiers that walk miles to work every day because they can't afford public transportation. Families cramming seven people into a single room, and workers forced to sell their own plasma to blood banks because they can't support themselves any other way. Workers cannot survive on McDonald's low pay, and McDonald's had the audacity to tell them to take a second job to make ends meet, to go on food stamps if they're hungry, and to sing if they were stressed out. I'm actually not kidding. When McDonald's pays its cooks and cashiers as little as it possibly can, it pushes wages down throughout the service sector, fueling massive income inequality. But low pay is just one way that McDonald's business model hurts workers. Worldwide, McDonald's has repeatedly been found guilty of wage theft, stealing from the paychecks of its own workers, people it already pays far too little. In the U.S., class action lawsuits allege the company is systematically stealing workers' wages by forcing them to work off the clock, shaving hours off their time cards, and not paying overtime. Workers in Brazil filed two lawsuits this year against McDonald's, detailing decades of labor violations in every Brazilian state. Wage theft has also been documented in Japan and Russia, among other countries. McDonald's wage theft is truly a global crime spree. In its drive to maximize profits, McDonald's sacrifices worker safety. Through its central computer system that dictates staffing levels and the speed of work, McDonald's creates a highly unsafe environment where workers are required to meet tight production and speed benchmarks, even while working with scalding oil and hot grills. 80% of workers in the U.S. fast food industry report getting burned on the job in the past year, most of them repeatedly. McDonald's workers have filed 28 health and safety complaints in 19 cities. What's most outrageous, many McDonald's workers who were burned report that their managers told them to put mustard on it instead of actual medicine like burn cream. That shows really what McDonald's thinks of its workers. McDonald's has been fined here in Brazil for failing to provide safe working conditions. And just this April, during a hearing in Paraná, McDonald's admitted to using underage workers for dangerous tasks. As Moasir said earlier, the judge stopped the hearing, walked down a few blocks, and found out for himself kids with burns on them for life, scarred for life, 14 and 15 years old, because McDonald's failed to follow the law and provide protective equipment. McDonald's exploits the young people, immigrants, and vulnerable workers it uses in its stores. Just last month, the labor court in Curitiba issued a major national ruling prohibiting McDonald's from employing minors in dangerous jobs. The case is under appeal. A study examining the systematic non-payment of wages to pregnant workers at McDonald's stores in Brazil found women were forced to resign so that McDonald's could avoid paying them severance pay or make accommodations. In the U.S., McDonald's workers filed a federal civil rights lawsuit after being told, I quote, there are too many black people working in this store. The lawsuit cited a widespread pattern of racial and sexual discrimination and harassment. These workers reported that McDonald's fired more than a dozen black workers who, quote, didn't fit the profile desired. The highest-ranking managers had told workers that it was, quote, too dark in the restaurants, and that they, quote, needed to get the ghetto out of the store. Several workers contacted McDonald's to report this discrimination, but the company did nothing. And the company continued to do nothing after a local newspaper reported on the firings. McDonald's scheduling practices require workers to tolerate unpredictable hours and inconsistent paychecks. Most are limited to part-time or zero-hour contracts, which have no work schedule set at all. Zero-hour contracts are a global epidemic, and McDonald's is patient zero. They brought zero-hour contracts into the U.S., to New Zealand, to the U.K., and elsewhere around the globe. And when workers join together to stand up for a better life and union rights, McDonald's illegally silences and intimidates them in clear violation of labor laws. In countries with varying labor conditions, like Brazil, the United States, Ireland, and South Korea, McDonald's workers have been repeatedly discouraged from forming unions, and workers have been fired for speaking out. And McDonald's not only squeezes its workers, it also squeezes franchisees, making it impossible for many to support their families. And when franchisees try to join together, they face almost exactly the same retaliation from the company. In response to this dramatic power imbalance, we have petitioned the U.S. Federal Trade Commission to investigate these abusive practices. As the largest purchaser of beef, chicken, lettuce, and tomatoes, McDonald's has enormous power over its suppliers, who are dependent on it to stay in business because of its size. In its quest to drive down costs, McDonald's uses this power to push down workforce and other standards across its supply chain. This is in clear violation of the global code of conduct that McDonald's has for worker treatment by their suppliers. Not surprising, since McDonald's doesn't even have a code of conduct for the treatment of its own workers. McDonald's makes fair business competition all but impossible. Through a ruthless, systematic effort to game the system and manipulate laws, McDonald's engages in social dumping that dominates or even eliminates competition altogether. If you or I wanted to open a burger restaurant and treat workers decently, we simply couldn't because McDonald's pushes standards down so dramatically that it would be impossible to compete. Unknown to many, McDonald's anti-competitive rent practices are a clear example of how it doesn't play fair. In Europe, the U.S., and other major markets, McDonald's requires its franchisees to lease the buildings or else they can't be a franchisee. Rent from franchisees makes up about two-thirds of McDonald's revenue from its franchise operation. McDonald's makes $4.5 billion in annual gross profit on rent charged to franchisees, 50% more than they make off of selling burgers and fries. McDonald's earned a massive global profit ratio of 72% on the rent paid by franchisees. This is because the company's franchisees pay higher rent as a percentage of sales than the franchisees of any other fast food chain. And in several key European countries, franchise stores are charged much higher rents than McDonald's own corporate stores. In the United Kingdom, McDonald's charges franchisees 20% of sales in rent, while only charging their corporate stores 4%. In Spain, it's 17% versus 3%. McDonald's business model also hurts governments. The company's tax avoidance strategies cost taxpayers billions every year and rob governments of the resources needed for education, healthcare, and infrastructure. Over the past decade, McDonald's has exploited corporate tax loopholes to avoid paying U.S. tax on the equivalent of nearly 53 trillion hayite. In foreign earnings, dodging as much as 5.7 trillion hayite in taxes. McDonald's does this while operating an extensive network of hidden subsidiaries and tax havens, the majority of which it does not disclose in its annual reports. While McDonald's disclosed just 11 tax haven subsidiaries in 2014, records show it operated 42. In Europe, McDonald's deliberately avoided 1.2 billion euros or 3.6 trillion hayis in corporate taxes from 2009 to 2013. It did this by moving its European headquarters from the UK and channeling royalty payments into a tiny Luxembourg subsidiary that has just 13 employees. In Australia, McDonald's has dodged more than 1.6 trillion hayis in taxes. And McDonald's is doing the same thing here in Brazil. Last week, we petitioned the public prosecutor's office for a public inquiry into McDonald's tax avoidance practices. Investigations have been initiated by authorities in at least 6 countries, and the European Union is currently looking into McDonald's tax arrangements. McDonald's race to the bottom also hurts consumers. In China, an undercover television investigation accused the company last July of using a mainland supplier that relabeled expired meat. The tainted meat reached across China and into Hong Kong and Japan, according to CNN, which quoted McDonald's Japan as saying the scandal had, quote, negative impact on sales and consumer confidence. That says it all about the way McDonald's feels about their customers' health. They put their health and safety at risk, and they're worried about sales and their image. SEIU and our global partners have a fundamental difference with McDonald's. We think workers drive economic growth, create value for companies, and create jobs from the work they do and the money they spend. We think workers should get paid well for their hard work and that the second largest employer in the world has a responsibility to help lift everyone up, not lead the race to the bottom. McDonald's doesn't think that way. They have a business model that fundamentally sees workers as expendable and countries as markets for them to extract profits. You know, they get a lot of benefits from being the biggest player. They get more profits, more advantages, special treatment. But along with those privileges ought to come some responsibility. It ought to be a responsibility to their workers, to the countries where they profit, and to the societies those workers come from. Holding McDonald's accountable is our air traffic controllers moment. It's our chance to end the steady decline for workers that accelerated when Ronald Reagan fired 11,000 striking air traffic controllers, undermining the power of workers for decades. It's how we can reverse anti-worker, cannibal capitalism, and it requires a global response. That's why we are here today, Senator, asking the Brazilian government to help lead. Brazil has leaders like you, Senator Paim, a government, a legal system, and a civil society that puts workers first. Brazil can lead and hold McDonald's accountable. the U.S., Europe, and others are poised to act, but they need you to lead. This is a critical moment for McDonald's, with a new CEO, with its sales down, with its business model being questioned all across the globe, and with workers rising up all across the globe to demand better. McDonald's must listen to Brazil and make a choice about its future. If you act, other countries and governments will follow to end McDonald's cannibal capitalism and put a stop to the global race to the bottom. Thank you very much.
Esse foi o Scott Ecoutry, diretor do organizador da CIU Internacional, Leone Washington Yuá. Meus cumprimentos pela fala, uma fala firme, não foi desrespeitosa, mas foi muito firme e contundente, trazendo alguns dados que, de fato, preocupam a todos nós. E essa é uma responsabilidade que nós temos que assumir de forma conjunta, e assim o faremos. Inclusive, fiquei perplexo com a acusação que até o momento não tinha chegado a mim, de ato de racismo, inclusive, no espaço das lojas, e que me preocupou muito. Esse dado é algo que aqui no Brasil é crime que não prescreve, é cadeia e multa para quem comete ato de racismo. A lei aqui é muito dura no Brasil. Eu sempre digo que, se com a lei ainda existe alguns atos de preconceito e racismo, calculem sem a lei. E podem contar conosco nessa cruzada a nível nacional contra o trabalho escravo e contra todo tipo de intolerância, preconceito e racismo. Meus cumprimentos à sua fala. Eu quero agora passar a palavra para Adriana Álvares, membro do Comitê Organizador Nacional Luta para que ultrapasse os 15 dólares de Chicago.
Thank you very much, Senator Fahim, and the members of the Federal States Senate. I'm sorry. It's really an honor to be here this morning with you guys, sitting up here and just seeing everybody that's here from everywhere. There's McDonald's workers from over 20 different countries. That's powerful. You know, we started with one city. It's how many cities now? It's awesome. And I know that I'm speaking for not just myself. I'm also speaking for hundreds of thousands of cooks, you know, cashiers, families. I have a 3-year-old son, and to be able to support him on $10.50, which is barely above minimum wage back in the United States, is just so hard. And you know, little kids, they like toys, they like Spider-Man, they like all this other stuff, and that's so expensive. And for me to take him to the store, I have to think twice, because I don't like telling him no. Who likes to tell a little innocent boy, no, you can't have that because mommy doesn't have money? You know, I work for this billion-dollar company, and I don't have enough at the end of the month. I have rent, his daycare, there's gas, there's insurance. We all know what bills we have to pay, and it's not enough. And it's honestly not fair. I work so hard at that store. I've been there for almost 5 years at the same store. And with the new Bruce Rauner, he's our new senator in Chicago. He's taking away so much money he's subsidizing money. And for childcare, I have to pay $75 a week for my baby. I'm sorry. It's just so hard, and it's so unfair, because we work so hard, and all we want is a decent pay. We want to get ahead. I don't want my child to be living in that basement I live in. Just this Tuesday, I got a call because I guess it rained in Chicago and water got inside. I don't know how bad it is right now. Like, how am I supposed to deal with this? And it's not fair that McDonald's still has to go and take away from my paycheck. Like, they would make us work off the clock. We had to count our cash registers. And they wouldn't let you punch in until you had counted it. Once your shift was finished, then you clock out and you count it again. So that's 15, 20 minutes every single day taken away from my paycheck. And it's ridiculous. How much are you making versus how much am I making? Why? I just want to know why, you know? And on top of that, if McDonald's is the world's second largest employer in the world. Everyone's going to follow their lead. You know, they're making money. We want to make money. So let's do what they're doing. Let's treat employees bad. Let's pay them a crappy pay. Let's make us all this profit. Forget the workers, you know. The new CEO has brought in new food, new meat, new chicken, new everything. And not once has he said anything about the people making his money. Not once. What about us? You know, we're struggling. The truth is that their employees suffer each and every day because they go home thinking, I'm not going to have enough for rent. I'm not going to have enough for my son's clothes. Why? How is that possible if we're working almost 40 hours a week and they make sure that we don't go on overtime because they don't want to pay overtime? They'll send you home before you get to overtime. This is so unfair. And they try to intimidate us by taking away our hours, by saying, if you do this, we're going to fire you. I'm like, okay, go ahead. We're going to stand together. And I know we have a family. The NOC is a family. Back home, we have families that support us, and they're not going to be alone. SEIU has been a big supporter of us. And thank you, Scott, for that, because we feel like we're one big family, and that's how it should be. It's exactly how it should be. Besides decent pay, you know, we're working to be able to form a union without retaliation, because right now we are receiving a lot of retaliation. And although we stick together, they still find ways to push us, and we need that protection. We don't have sick days. I can go in there coughing on food. They don't care. Don't make me work. So that means that you guys get sick. You shop at McDonald's, you might get sick. Then wonder, oh, why am I sick? The worker is sick. Or if my son gets sick, that happens. Kids get sick all the time. I can't take him to daycare. They won't accept him because then he'll contage the other little kids. And I have to stay home. That's a day of no pay. What am I supposed to do? Send them to who? Everybody else works. I don't have anybody else to watch him. It's so frustrating to me that sick days, that makes, how does that, you know, to them, how does that, I want to know how it goes through their head. You know, we have families. It's not just teenagers anymore. They're always arguing. Oh, it's for teenagers only fresh out of high school. It's not the case anymore. There's people who have been there for 10 years and are almost making what I'm making, and I've only been there almost 5. To me, that is unfair. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm fighting, and I will not stop until we get this 15 and a union in Chicago. And
Adriana Álvares, membro do Comitê Organizador Nacional, luta para além dos 15 dólares de Chicago. E o meus cumprimentos pela sua fala, a emoção que você passou aqui mostra a situação que se encontra os trabalhadores. Veja bem, estamos falando de Chicago, né? Então, a preocupação nossa aumenta a cada depoimento. É, trabalho escravo, o seu próprio choro aqui mostrou a situação tão delicada. Eu estou recebendo nesse momento depoimentos que aqui no Brasil, que nós já retiramos do regime de escravidão 50 mil trabalhadores. Nós somos o último país do mundo a abolir a escravatura contra o povo negro. Mas, assim mesmo, graças ao Ministério Público e Ministério do Trabalho, nós já retiramos do trabalho escravo 50 mil pessoas. E pelo depoimento que estou vendo aqui, é assustador, como dizia o Moacir, a gente tem que viajar um pouco mais pelo mundo para você ver que, infelizmente, o que existe é da maior gravidade.